This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Loves us, a God who cares for us. And we thank God for just being God all by himself. If he can use anything, Lord, you can use me. I want you to think about that just for a moment when you're saying that. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. That's God's desire, to use each one of us to do his will, his way. It takes us to our scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It reads, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Read it again. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, we ask now in a special way that you would speak to us. We, your servants, right now, God. Those in person, those online, let us hear from you, God, that you may speak to us and we would hear and then do what you called us to do. Bless, God, as only you can bless. God, even if it was not our intention to stay online this long to listen, God, speak to us anyhow. Let your word come forth. Let your will be done. And we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Bless now. God, we're praying that every unsaved soul will be saved, and every saved soul will grow in you. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our subject, God is working. So get to work. God is working, so get to work. Month of February, we've been celebrating Black History Month. At one time, it was Black History Week, and it became Black History Month. But I have news for you. Come March, April, and even past May, we will still be black. And still celebrating what God has done in us and through us. Our history must be of great importance. Think about it. The history of black folk must be of great importance if there are those who don't want our history to be taught in the various schools that are supposed to enlighten young minds from whence we have come as a nation. We must tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so our nation can be set free. Slavery did happen in America. Jim Crow did happen. Segregation is a part of this nation's history. Black lives having little or no value has happened and continues to happen in the land of the free and home of the brave. If we don't want to tell the bad things that happen to black folk, then don't tell the bad things that happen to any folk. Black lives do matter, and our history matters. We are of African descent, but a lot has happened to us in this country that has caused us to be angry, disillusioned, frustrated, and depressed. Hatred from others in many areas has even caused us to hate ourselves. Not only do people who don't look like us can't stand us, but too many times we who look like us can't stand us. We fight among ourselves, and many times just because. The truth of what happened before we got to this land and what happened once we got here must be told. We didn't come here on the Nina, the Pinta, and the what? Now you know, it's something that we all know those three ships. And I was amazed when I didn't have to research that. I remembered it from elementary school. But that's not the ships we came on. Our ancestors didn't come here looking to exploit people who were already here. We came on the Triton, the Antelope, Juno, Alexander, the Volunteer, the Molly, Jamaican Packet, Spy, Swift, Two Brothers, Baltimore, Polly, Fly, ship called Jason, Sylvia, Sabella, Cornwall. We came on the Planter, Indian Prince, Success, John and Martha, King David, Matilda, Greyhound, Charming Betty, Africa, Armistead. Do you know, they even had a ship named Jesus. The transatlantic slave trade database documents more than 35,000 voyages of slave ships during that period. And at least 1,000 of those vessels were shipwrecked. By the way, when our ancestors got here, this land was not the United States of America. Our history, even right here at First African Baptist, shows to us that Brother George Lyle was granted permission to preach up and down the Savannah River in 1773. And he was ordained on May 20th, 1775, and then obtained his freedom from slavery August of 1777, and then in his own words, constituted the church here in Savannah in December of 1777. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means that the American Revolutionary War was going on. They had the Declaration of Independence in 1776. The American Revolutionary War was going on when this church was constituted. They were still fighting the war. The British said if we win the war, there won't be any slavery in this colony. The colonists didn't make that claim to fame. So whose side do you think George Lyle and the members of the First African were wanting to win? But they lost. The British lost, and for fear of being re-enslaved, the Reverend George Lyle sailed the British to Jamaica and started the First Baptist Church in Jamaica. But he left Reverend Andrew Bryant, his wife Hannah, and others, and they continued this congregation. What I'm saying is that the constitution of this church predates, actually, the formation of the United States of America. It's a part of American history. But please let me dispel the notion also, when I even mentioned one of the ships, slave ships was named Jesus, let me dispel this notion that Europeans brought Jesus and Christianity to the poor heathen Africans. Even through the word of God, you can see that that evidence is false. Amen. You can look at Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, and I'll read it. I'm just going to take a little bit of time and I'm done.
Take your time.
Acts chapter 8, beginning verse 26, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian. Yeah, from Ethiopia, which is in Africa. A eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. What chapter did I say that was? Chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 9. Yeah, beginning with verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters in the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days, he was without sight and neither ate or drank. Well, if you took nothing but that portion there, we'll find that the Ethiopian eunuch had a 3-day head start on Saul, who would eventually become Paul. The eunuch, rejoicing, went back home to Ethiopia, to Africa, teaching, preaching, practicing Christianity before Saul even becomes Paul. If that's not enough, Paul takes another 3 to 5 years minimum in training before he goes and begins to spread the good news to the Gentiles in places like Rome. That's Italy. That's Turkey, and that's Europe. But before Europe hears anything about Jesus, and those who were Gentiles particularly, before they hear anything about Jesus, it was already in Africa a minimum of 5 years. Africa had the gospel at least some 5 or more years before Europe even knew Jesus died. So who taught who about Jesus? I'm just saying, tell the whole truth. Why? Why must we tell the truth? Because God is working it out for our good. In other words, God is at work, even in history, because it's really his story. Y'all got to hear this. It is really his story. It's his story that brings peace. It's his story that brings joy. It's his story that brings deliverance. It's his story that will help all of us as all people come together and live as he designed for us to live. There's a reason why we've been through what we've been through as a people. It's a reason why we've had to go through what we've gone through. There's a reason why you've been through what you've been through and why you're going through what you're going through. God is working it out for your good. Even if you can't see it and you can't understand why, God is working. So get to work. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, Paul is saying this to us. He said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God has so much for us that we can't see if we're only looking at the things of this world. God expects to use us to get his will done. What do you mean he expects us to do it? I said we all believe God can do everything but fail. That's our faith. We believe that. But I want you to look at Ephesians 3 and 20. You hear this a lot. You're going to hear it one more time. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Yeah, I grew up King James. We do NIV so everybody can understand. King James says, but now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Yeah, God's power is in us. For what purpose? To do God's will. In spite of everything else that happens around us, God can fix every situation that's going on in our lives. And he could do it immediately. But he has chosen to use us to get the work done. No longer can we sit around and say, well, I'll let somebody else do it. I'm going to let them do it. You know, they seem to be smarter than I am. They seem to know more about God than I do. They seem to be this. No, God wants to use you. I know every time I stand here and preach, you always think I'm talking to somebody other than you. Somebody sitting there and say, I sure hope they hear that. No, I'm talking to you. Yeah, you. Everybody do this. This is who he's talking to. Say, this is who he's talking to today. See, some folks still didn't point. Because y'all sitting there saying, he ain't talking to me. He's talking to them. Understand what God wants to do in us. He's chosen to use us. If you want to see a transformation in our community, if you want to see a transformation in our neighborhoods, if you want to see a transformation in your home, if you want to see a transformation in this world, let God use you. Get to work. I know what you're saying. Get to work doing what? It's right there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God is making his appeal through us. God is making his appeal through us. God is making his appeal through you. God is speaking to your family through you. God is speaking to folk where you work through you. God is speaking to folk at your school through you. God is speaking, God is using, God is waiting for you to go to work. God is waiting to use you to transform this world. God is speaking to this sin-sick world through us, through you, through me. We are the change this world has been searching for. We are the real deal. We who love God have the power to transform this world. We are God's ambassadors. Let me, just a little bit of ambassadors. Ambassadors have the backing and full support of the country they represent. If another country does something to a United States ambassador, that country has to answer to the United States of America. Even if a United States ambassador should mess up in another country, that country can't touch him or her, cannot touch him or her, because they have diplomatic immunity. Whatever they do in another country, They say, look, let the U.S. handle that. Keep your hands off of them. You can't do anything to them. They have diplomatic immunity. I'm just saying to you today, be the ambassador God has called you to be. Be the ambassador God has called. There's nothing this world can do to you that your home nation won't protect you from. You have diplomatic immunity. You are an ambassador not because you're so smart. You're an ambassador not because you've been so good. You're an ambassador not because you have extra money. You're not an ambassador because you're so beautiful. No, no, no. You're an ambassador because the price for ambassadorship was paid long ago. What do we have to do? 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal to us. So what do we have to do? We implore you. We urge you. We push you on behalf of Christ. What do we have to do? Be reconciled to Christ. Be reconciled to God. Before you can make sense out of all that's going on in your life, be reconciled to God. Before you can take on this world, be reconciled to God. Before you can fix anything in anybody else, be reconciled to God. Before you get excited about making this world do the right thing, you do the right thing. Be reconciled to God. God can and he will transform this entire world. But he needs you, he needs me to do our part. We need to accept the challenge that he has given us. And we can do it because of what he's already done. We can do it because of the message he's already given us. He's given us the message of reconciliation. Well, when you say be reconciled to God, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, allow the Lord to be Lord of your life. Amen. Know this, we were in enmity against God. We sinned and we come short. God has nothing to do with sin. God is perfect. God is holy. God had nothing to do with sin, and we were sinful. We sinned and come short. We deserve death. The wage of sin is death. But then God gave us a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. I want you to hear what God is doing for us. It wasn't because we were so smart or beautiful or lovely or had so much money or had the right amount of education. It was because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We go around trying to condemn everything and everybody, but that's not what Christ was about. He was about showing love and compassion in such a way that those who don't know him will come to know him, and those who didn't know about him could see his love in us. That's being reconciled to God, because he's reconciled us to him through the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus gave of himself. He gave everything he would give. He gave food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, sight to the blind, healing to the sick. He even gave physical life to some who had died. But can you see our Lord and Savior? They talked about him. They ridiculed him. But he even allowed them to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head. But our Lord and Savior hung on the cross for all of your sins. He hung on the cross for all of my sins. And the Bible says he died for all of what you have done, for all of what I have done. Don't walk around here with your head down thinking I can't tell the gospel story. Don't say I can't tell somebody about Christ, because I've messed up. I've come short. Well, everybody has messed up. Everybody has come short. And all you got to do is tell the good news. Tell the gospel story. But what is that? He died. He died for the soul of the father. They placed him in a bar or two. They go all night Friday. They go all day Saturday. They go all night Saturday. But on that Sunday morning, he got up with power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. He ascended into heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Who will guide us. Who empowers us to be reconciled.
unto God and to do the work God has called us to do. We can love like God wants us to love. We can forgive like God wants us to forgive. We can give like God wants us to give. We can do everything God wants us to do because the power of God lives in us. Somebody ought to say, Lord, I thank you. Accept the challenge he's laid before us. Yes, we need to accept it. And our prayer ought to be, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Lord, if you're healing in this season, please don't do it without me. Lord, if you're making a way in this season, please don't do it without me. Lord, if you're helping families in this season, please don't do it without me. Lord, if you're helping some man, woman, boy, or girl, please don't do it without me. Lord, use me. Use my hands. Use my feet. Use all of me. Lord, I stand ready to be used by you. Somebody ought to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes to your way. Yes to your will. And you can use anybody. You can use me. Might be somebody today who said, I want to be used by the Lord. I need God in my life. I haven't expressed the fact that I need him in my life. And listen, I don't care how long you've been attending church. If you have not given your heart to God, now is a good day to do it. To say, Lord, I surrender my heart. I surrender. Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. It's a great time to do it. Those who are watching online, we're going to pray a prayer. And those here, if you want to accept Jesus in your life, pray this prayer to accept him into your life. The Bible says, if you shall confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. Take the time to pray this prayer right now to allow God to come into your life if you know you want him in your life. Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart. Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with all of those who accepted Christ for today. Hallelujah. If you accepted online, please type the word save to the number you see on the screen. Type the word save. If you're in the building, just come forward. And we'll just stand. We won't be hugging or anything else like that. We just acknowledge the fact that you today decided to come. We're having baptism on next Sunday. We have a baptism on the first Sunday. So if you desire to be baptized, you can come also on today. We'll have baptism on next Sunday. If there's anybody first half you've been talking to about coming to Christ, and they haven't quite yet come to church yet, to come down the aisles, we need to know who they are and extend to them an opportunity to be baptized on next Sunday, first Sunday at 9 a.m. But if you're here today, won't you come? For loving us, caring for us, we've done what the Lord commanded, yet there's still room. If you know of anyone who does not know the Lord, please pray with and for them that they come into a relationship. This is not a season of complaining. This is not a season of being dissatisfied about how the world is. It's a season for us being used by God to transform our families, to transform our communities, to transform our thinking, and to thinking more as God would have us to think. We should love everybody. We should love everybody because God loves everybody. We should treat everybody the way we want God to treat us. Let that message resound within our minds and our hearts. Regardless of what you've been through, regardless of what you're going through right now, trust God with loving, caring, and doing it his way. Thank you for coming to be in worship on today. Thank you for coming and sharing. We give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Following the benediction, we're asking those in the sanctuary to just be seated. The ushers will escort you out and around. So just be patient with us as we're doing that. We're still following COVID protocol. I know everybody thinks that it's over with. No more COVID, no more flu and all this. And we trust God. Hallelujah. But we're also going to be very cautious. Amen. Be wise
as we do this as well. So please do that following the benediction. Also, if you have not given, please make sure that you pay your tithes and offering and give. Thank you. Please give as you go out. Don't forget the card shower for Sister Tillman, whose birthday we celebrated on this Wednesday. Thank you all so much for that. If you do want to continue to do that, we thank God for you. The box there at the door. Yes, and you also can give online or Giblify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. Let us pray. God, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for being the answer for every question that we may have in life. Thank you for using us, God, to do what you want done. We know what you want done. But use us as you've used so many down through the years. In all of our history, you've used so many to do the right thing, God. Let us be a part of that number to do what's right and pleasing in your sight. Now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen and praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.